Forever! Dog!
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see. My, oh, my. Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
I love you.
I love you.
We have to set a tone of everyone telling each other that they love each other.
And for what reason? What's the function?
There's a lot of hate in the world.
Yes.
And we have to drive that out with the love.
Ooh, come on, Marianne.
Come on, Marianne.
Oh, this is kind of a cultural news story. I mean, at the time of recording, do you see Alyssa Milano was going to Marianne's fundraiser event?
Yeah, it was actually recently, and friend of the pod, Ira Madison III, was there. So I got some of the tea from her.
Can we know about the tea?
You can hear some of the guest list.
What did Miss Ira? Oh, please.
A Marsha Cross.
No, stop.
It was hosted by Laura Dern.
Are you kidding me?
I am not kidding you.
You said Marsha Cross, and I was like, I mean,
how can it go?
There's nowhere to go from there.
Well, famously, Laura Dern.
I know,
Mary,
but yeah, yes. So.
We're roommates. For people that don't know at home, they were roommates.
But for a while, there was a little brief period of a couple of weeks where people were like, it could have been a contentious thing where like they were roommates and it was a bad situation and now they like no longer
speak
to each other.
Due to the fact that she be hosting fundraisers for Miss Marianne Williamson, author.
They're on great terms.
They must be. And
okay, who else?
I could find it, but those are the heavy hitters.
Okay, where are you at now with the Marianne stuff? Because truly, I mean, at the time, I mean, we recorded an episode like the day after those debates, and we were all like, "Oh my god, LOL, isn't she so fun?"
Well, Shane in last place. Let's just say that she's certainly in 16th place.
She posted an Evangelion meme, and that was when with like a fucking Evangelion meme, this anime, with some wild, wacky, woo woo. Thing about late capitalism and how it should lead to love or whatever some wild thing, and I was like, this is too much and I'm out. Sorry.
Yeah, no, bye. I mean yeah, we're out, but like we're not mad.
I'm saying I was in and engaged as far as
we're entertained by it.
Yes.
And then you were like,
this is scary.
Well, Sudi, I talked to Sudi about it and she was like, I think this makes us look stupid.
Our side looks stupid.
I do get that perspective.
Sure.
And of course, like, it is funny, like, that she said, girlfriend, you have something on, that. I mean, it's a funny thing. How far it could go is a question I ask, which is a scary question that maybe with a scary answer, which she won't be the nominee, but come on. But I will say, Alyssa Milano did tweet about it. She's like, I'm going to my first fundraiser of the season, and it's Marianne Williamson. I know. She literally said, I know, but she's the only one talking about like how the soul of America is hurting.
Sure.
And I was like, sure. I don't know what that means, honey.
Our guest just fluttered her hands in like a panic, and I feel that.
Okay. I mean, come on.
Other guests at the fundraiser?
I couldn't rattle them off, but just suffice it to say,
Marsha,
that's what you're getting. You're getting the Marsha Cross of it all,
you know,
at a Marianne Williamson fundraiser.
I think, how do you feel? I feel like Marsha Cross had been wronged by this industry.
I mean, yes, actually. Do you know, Marsha Cross, the last I saw her, she was on morning news shows talking about she actually had rectal cancer.
I know, I heard about that.
And she was out of commission for a little while to deal with the rectal cancer.
Wow.
And she very bravely, I think,
so brave.
Was like speaking out about the rectal cancer because, you know, that's uncomfortable to talk about. And obviously there's going to be a ton of stigma with something like that.
Yes.
But I would, I'll just say right now, I have been dealing in my family with someone who's recently diagnosed with prostate cancer. Please get checked.
Please get checked.
What I mean? This is something that, and just be going to the doctor. And just know that this is, you don't have to feel ashamed about that kind of thing.
No.
Like what's shameful is if you end up getting really sick or going because you didn't say anything or didn't do anything because it's a pride thing. Like, I get it. It's your fucking butthole or it's your, you know, they're your breasts or whatever, but you have to take care of yourself.
Yeah, that has to do with, like, whatever, stigmatizing anatomy, which is, like, so fun. It just makes no sense.
The fact that it was a discussion with this Marsha Cross thing of, like, so brave of you, the stigma. Yes, it is. It's also, like, deeply, 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 like, your health. And you have to put your health first. And honestly, I was actually really, really moved that she was so forward about this, like, and you know, went out there and speak, because when do you hear about people in the public eye discussing the kind of cancer like that?
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, it does raise awareness and it helps people. So who knew we'd get here from Marianne Williamson?
Now, I know you, I don't know if we've had this discussion, but we've talked about Desperate Housewives so much, and I know you're a Longoria head, but I think my favorite character out of the four is Brie, and I think Marsha Cross did such good work.
They did Marsha Cross by not giving her the Emmy.
I know.
That year that Felicity won the Emmy, that was Marsha Cross's Emmy.
God, you know what scene I think about constantly, and I've quoted it on the podcast before, but when it's remember the whole Andrew coming out plotline in season two? The only good plotline from season two was Andrew, and it's fucked up. Remember when Andrew fucks her boyfriend?
Yes.
And then,
I know what you're gonna do.
But where she throws the wine, where she is not allowing Andrew to be emancipated or whatever. And she's like dumping out bottles of wine because she's about to go to AA. And she's like being very proud of, like, I'm going to go to AA and it's going to be fun and whatever. Yeah. I'm making this work. She's dumping out bottles. And then Andrew, at one point, they get into some fight. And then Andrew calls, says, "You're a stone cold bitch. You know that?" And then I've done this before on the podcast, I need to do it again. She throws a bottle of wine from across the room and it hits the fridge and it shatters. And this is the whole, the opposite of love isn't hate, it's indifference.
It's indifference.
I
mean, Marsha was stunning that whole first season. And that character, a friend of mine, Jordan Ardino, wrote on Desperate Housewives.
Oh my God, Jordan wrote for Desperate?
And I was
for Desperate
gagged because he also wrote for Smash.
Yes,
he wrote for all the good shit. And so, like, I love talking to him about Desperate Housewives because truly, like, that was like the show. And what I'm fucking obsessed with is that our guest is nodding her head off while we talk about this, which means it also was a formative piece of culture for her. And that's something I'm excited to talk to her about.
I'm very excited to talk to our guest.
And who is our guest? Pray tell.
God, I gotta say, like, our guest, I saw our guest perform. I heard her on a podcast. Ooh!
Truly, do you hear that?
Do you hear what I hear?
The sounds of chaos outside of New York. It's like, that's our fan club.
That's our fan club.
That is how intense the fans of
our guest are. I heard our guest on a podcast, and it was her and Rachel Winitsky, like, just talking, playing a game.
Yeah.
And she was just cracking me up.
Yeah,
so
one of
much
the funniest.
By doing, and this is just the highest compliment, by doing so little, she was cracking me the fuck up, where Rachel would play this game with her, is this a this or a that thing? Anyway, and then she would just be like, she would get answers wrong. She'd be like, God, I'm so stupid. I'm such a stupid bitch. Like, just like offhand things. Not to mention, like, just fucking an amazing comedian, an amazing writer. And then, like, you know, you gotta see the videos.
At Ava and her IUD.
And her IUD. I mean,
on
Twitter. One of the most iconic handles.
I mean, one of the most iconic handles and a Twitter that's taking, like, the world by storm.
The world by
storm.
Rightfully so. Not to, like, I hate to, like, bring up the numbers and the metrics. 200,000 followers.
What? Come on.
I know. I hate bringing this up, but it's like fucking like something's happening.
Something's happening. And the people are talking. Here's the thing. A retweet is huge. It's actually Real Culture number 12.
A retweet is huge.
It means that not only did the person appreciate what they've seen, but they want to share it with their community.
I want to champion this work. And we can't forget the Instagram handle is Victor Eva Secret.
Yeah.
I love that so much. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited to
welcome into your ears
our guest,
Ava Victor.
Woo! Okay, thank you for having me. This is ridiculous. A couple things to say.
Okay, please go.
Okay, Marsha Cross and Laura Dern are both very tall.
Yes.
Incredibly tall.
A very tall
Don't
woman.
Forget that.
Don't forget
How tall
that.
Are they? Do you know?
I imagine Laura Dern is 6 feet.
Yeah.
Marsha Cross, probably 5'11".
Now, would you identify as tall?
I would. And I'm 5'11", and it's fine.
It's one of those things where it's like, do you find that, were you always tall?
Always. Seventh grade, it was this Dancing with Gregory.
Come
horrible.
On.
Yeah, arms like this.
Gregory. He had to be what, 5'5"?
Oh, he was so small.
Ugh. God.
You know Gregory. Oh.
I feel like I honestly do know Gregory.
Yeah, I know Gregory.
Gregory was that guy.
Yeah, he was sort of like, I'll dance with you fine.
Yeah, right. And
He should be so lucky.
Do we know what he's doing now?
We don't. And we could look it up, and maybe I will in a second.
Okay. Yeah, okay, cool. All right, so Marsha Cross, it goes like this. You and Marsha Cross, 5'11", Laura Dern, 6 feet tall.
Uh-huh. I think it goes like that. Wow. And I don't know about Marianne. She might be tall too, but it doesn't feel like
I don't think she's tall. She's not giving me tall energy.
So the Jill Stein of this year.
Yeah, the Jill Stein. Do you think she'll cross over to a Green Party ticket? That feels
imminent. Oh my God, fucking kill me.
I know.
Like, fucking try to be honorable one time. Right? I'm
with you
fucking
here.
Over like the ego in all of it. I'm like, drop out, bitch. That's the strongest, that's the most presidential thing you can do.
Yeah, honestly, yes. Is to clear the field.
It's crazy.
Yeah. The most altruistic thing, absolutely.
It is.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
If
yes.
you're doing bad, drop out.
The thing is, I think that she... Here's the thing, though. If she was doing how she was doing, and now she's doing better, she's going to keep going.
She has the directional thing. Yeah,
because she's like that.
Fuck. It's like, if you're the kind of person who, like, is going to move up because you're dumb... Drop out.
Well,
does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. But I mean, but I don't think she's aware of that. I was reading the other day. It's like 5 of them are doing very well, and the rest of them are doing either fine or bad.
At that
point, it's just like, okay, if you're doing fine or bad, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And drop out quietly.
Yeah, thank you for playing.
No worries.
Yeah, no worries.
What do you think about you? You're on the Swalwell kick. You thought Eric did a good job.
I am not on a Swalwell
you
kick.
You keep bringing him up. You want to fuck him up
because I would fuck him.
So you're on a Swalwell kick.
I would
kick.
Fuck most of them.
I would fuck most of them. Would
too.
You fuck Jay Inslee?
Okay, remind me. One of the white guys?
Climate change.
Oh my God, yeah. I would honestly fuck anyone with the ego to do this.
Yes, yeah. Which is the tragedy.
Regardless of gender.
Yeah. I don't know any of the candidates who I didn't know before the debate.
Right, okay.
Like, I watched and I was like, okay, who's that? No big deal. Who's that? No big deal. It just was too much information. Sure. And I'm sort of like here to destroy Beto.
Yeah, right.
And that's same. It.
I mean, that's...
But you would fuck Beto?
Oh, my God. I basically fucked a Beto lookalike, but I can't get into it because I'm very sad.
Oh, no. See, that's the kind of guy who'll ruin your fucking life.
I know. I think...
I would have sex with Beto.
I think
so confident.
He's really...
He probably comes and then it's like, sorry, gotta go.
I think the veneer
makes noises.
I think the veneer is cracking on him in a way that for me, I'm just like, ooh, I see you sweat and bitch, that's not hot. And you're totally gone for me.
I would fuck Amy.
I was gonna say I would fuck Amy.
Oh, yeah. I would
I'll put a baby
Amy.
In Amy.
Yeah. That stuff about bottoming for Hillary, I would fully bottom for Amy. And also, here's the thing about Amy. You want me to do my job? If you throw a binder at me, I'm 10 times more
Absolutely.
Likely to do my job. That's how you run a
fucking
room.
Okay, I was talking about Beto's wife, Amy.
Oh!
Is that her name?
But I'm talking about Miss Klobuchar.
Oh,
yeah.
I would fuck Amy.
Yeah, 100%.
But the thing about Beto is...
put a baby in Amy.
Now that his confidence is knocked a little bit, it's like, now that I know he has like a self-esteem issue, I can't eat his ass fast enough.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
for
interesting.
Sure. I mean, if you tell me you have a self-esteem issue, I can't eat your ass fast enough.
Oh my God, really?
That's my whole vibe, yeah.
That's
awesome, dude.
Wait.
Honestly, huge for you.
Because I'm like, oh, it's going to be easy for me?
And
I don't have
like,
to pretend
grateful?
To be as confident as you? Because I'm also fucked up.
Yeah, I know.
Let's go.
Dang. Isn't it horrible, all of it? Like, vulnerability and stuff?
I mean, honestly, I love vulnerability.
No, I love vulnerability. I haven't felt the payoff of vulnerability in a couple days.
Yeah.
You know, like, sometimes...
And that's long.
That feels like a long... I don't know. I'm coming off of, like...
You're going through something right now.
I know. I like, brought seltzer. Like, what am I up to?
Yeah, no, you brought 4 seltzers, and it's,
and
like,
thank
obvious,
you so
and there's
much.
3
She's
of
in
us.
Crisis.
Emma, do you want the seltzer?
No.
That's for you. She has one.
Well,
because
here's the
flavor.
Thing. Because now the seltzer is just going to sit here, and it's going to be this reminder of this person.
I know.
No. Well, are you? Do you want to talk about it? Or we don't
have
to.
I'll give you the lowdown.
Give us,
sort
please.
Of like the lowdown. I was like, I basically was in like 2 serious relationships,
uh-huh.
and it was sort of like, boom. Boom.
Yeah.
And now we're on the of the second one. And
how
I'm
long
like,
was the first
Like, I want to say 2 years.
That's a long time.
I know, right? Isn't that such a long time?
That's a full-fledged relationship. I mean,
it was huge. It was like the first time I was in love. It was like, I'm still like, okay, this person means the world to me. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a person. And then I was kind of taken off guard by another person. And...
Right after that ended.
I mean, there was some time, but it was overwhelming.
Yeah.
And now I'm sort of like, okay, so I don't plan on sort of going down like romantic vulnerabilities, uh-huh. Road for like probably a decade or so.
it is hard. It takes the wind out of your fucking sails. I remember when my first, so how it was, the first relationship was 2 years, and then pretty soon after you met this other person, and how long were you with them, or was that a thing?
Yeah, maybe like almost a year.
Yeah, so but the intensity felt almost the same.
Yeah, well, they were so different, and
yeah,
without getting into it too much, like there was no real time when I felt like alone.
I see.
And now here I am, and it's sort of like, well, you have some crazy thoughts now, and like you are, what's going on up here? Because you're kind of alone in there now. It's interesting, and it's really funny, and like,
because like the real tea is like when my relationship ended, there was a time where I was like, why would I ever do that again?
Yeah.
Why would I ever go through that again? And I was like, no, I'm getting a relationship. It is horrible. Yeah. And then like with time, you realize like you will realize like how you've grown and like you'll be thankful for it. But it's just like
the call to courage.
Yeah. But to be honest, like
the call to courage.
No, honestly,
Brene Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The call to courage.
You need to watch Brene Brown.
I watched it 3 times in a row the day after my last breakup, and it helped. But also then I was like, okay, Brene is sort of it for me now.
Right. So then you became fixated on Brene. Yeah. And if it's not Brene, then it can't be anyone.
Who do I get? Yeah. Who can I lock down? Yeah.
I've been quoting Brene too much.
She's great.
I keep being like, well, vulnerability is showing up and not knowing what the outcome is. Like, I keep saying that.
I mean, that is bravery. That is bravery. It is. If you know what's going to happen, you're not putting anything on the line, you're not being any... it's just not bravery.
Okay, so then where you're at now is this thing of like, I don't want to put anything on the line?
I think I put, like, I honestly, and not to toot my own horn here, was very brave.
Yeah!
And thank you so much. And I was. And I feel like, okay, I don't want to be brave for another person right now.
Yep.
I'm going to be brave sort of all by my lonesome, bring my seltzers wherever I go.
Yes. Yeah.
You know.
Fucking yeah.
Wait, I'm sorry. Can we just say, the seltzers are not, to me, did not read as a cry for anything. It does not indicate anything.
The seltzers like are a huge
the seltzers
deal.
The seltzers are...
They're a huge metaphor
for
what's going
on. No one ever brings us anything.
It's generous. And like, it means that you are like willing to offer something of yourself.
Thank you. Thank you, and I'll remember that.
And like this thing of like, okay, just to go back to your and I'll remember that. To go back to your thing of like, oh, you're alone up here. What are you have crazy thoughts. It's like, well, I've never been served by like rating my own thoughts or inner like, you know, ruminations of like, oh God, I suck for thinking that. Like that doesn't help. I don't know.
Yeah,
that doesn't,
no judgment.
No judgment.
On the outer layer, just take away the judgment, then deal with the next layer.
Sure. And then what's the thing that that Brene ends on in A Call to Courage? She's like, something begets joy, or like gratitude begets joy.
Oh.
Right? So there you go.
Yeah, it's about being grateful for what you have, and it is this.
It is this. Can I think I'm dealing with, you two are different from me, where I think, but that's also, this is also because I have not been in a long-term relationship ever. For longer than like 6 months. So
that's a long time, I think. Anyway, keep going.
Thank you. Well, I haven't felt this thing of like I completely gave myself over to somebody, but I find it so fascinating when people are like, I don't want to do that again. Because my instinct is maybe I'm just a serial monogamist. I'm in love with being in love. Mm-hmm. I want to jump to the next thing immediately.
I think that...
Which is bad. I'm not tooting that as a good
thing.
Nothing's
bad at this point. Like, we have to forgive ourselves.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, okay, the reason I say that...
And I'll remember that. Yeah.
The reason I say that is because, like... And I've talked about him so much on the pod, so I'll just use his name. Like, the relationship I had with Henry was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. But also, it's like, the periods of despair were such periods of true despair. Mm-hmm. Where I was, like, physically ill. Yeah. And, like, just the tragedy that comes
both
with not being
pain.
Able to work it out with someone that you love so much. It's like grieving a loss. Yes. And it's like someone dying.
Yeah.
And that's why I think you have yet to experience that.
Yes.
Because
once
you do experience that, and you will, well, honestly, I hope for you that the first person that you have like a real relationship with, I hope that's it. Not that I don't wish for you all the experiences in the world, but like I wouldn't wish on anyone despair.
Yeah.
And you can attest to this, like when you are in a relationship and all you want to do is make it work, but it just can't.
Yeah.
It's a devastating, devastating
It's a
feeling.
Realization. It's like, oh my God, oh my God, my fantasy of what this could be has to go down the drain.
Yeah.
And then you have to keep reminding yourself the fantasy isn't real, or that like what you could, what you imagined isn't, you're not on track for it. And maybe you're not getting what you want. And you're like, I spent a lot of time worrying about what other people need. And like a lot of time I was like, wait, I guess like I need to think about what I want, because I never prioritize that. And that's sort of like Brené's whole thing.
There you go.
Literally, you go. I think we are the same, because something I've had to deal with over the past couple of years is like, you gotta say how you feel, because trying to make other people happy is making you sick.
Yes.
Like, and
physically,
and also,
like in bed.
And right. Yeah. Not allowing people the truth about what you are and who you are. Like,
yes.
So now it's like, there's something new kind of bubbling up in my life, and I'm kind of like, oh God, at what point am I like fully 100% completely honest about like what it is that I want? And like what, like, you know, but it's also one of my lessons from the relationship too, is also like, you have to make people feel special and loved and wanted. So it's a
you can't
tough
just take,
thing. And these relationships they're never going to be perfect, but you can try.
Yeah. Yes. And it's about a choice. It's about making a choice. Oh God, here we go.
Go.
It's about making a choice where you both are like, I want to choose to make this work.
Yes.
And if you're not choosing that together or at the same time, you're dead.
Oh,
and
you're
I also
dead.
Think that is
you're
so dead. Romantic too.
It's, I know,
so
romantic. Because it's like logic.
Yeah,
it's like we can just, this is a decision. It's not like, oh, one day I wake up and like love, and the next day I'm confused. It's like, no, I'm committed to this like growth.
Yeah,
and you're a Pisces. Yes,
I am.
Sorry to bring it up.
What are you? What are you?
An Aquarius. I'm right next door. Right next door.
Right next door. Right next door.
So,
did you read Normal People?
Oh my God, I read the first 20 pages at Nicole Silverberg's house and I couldn't put it down. And then she made this amazing dessert, so I had to.
What dessert was it?
What was
she made?
I saw she made a strawberry shortcake.
That's what she made.
Wow.
And you know what? It's not what you think it is. It is biscuits. Oh gosh.
Strawberries and cream between the biscuits?
Yes, but it's not.
Yes. Oh my God, wait. My mom makes a version of this.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
It's not the thing that I thought it was, which was like fruit in the cake. It's like, it's very British.
Yes. She made, it looked stunning.
She's
and
such
you
a
ate
good
that?
Baker. I ate that.
I saw you eat that. Yes.
Did you? I bragged about eating that.
You bragged about eating it?
That is social media right now in a sentence.
I saw you eat that. That's actually Rule of Culture number 12.
Social media is I saw you eat that.
That is very poignant.
That is true.
Poignant and huge.
Poignant and huge. You have to read it.
Oh my God.
You have to finish it. I read it in like, what, 2-3 days?
Oh my God. That she said she got home and just sat down and finished it.
Yeah. The second
it turns me on, that book so far.
Oh God.
It's a horny fucking
book.
Is it?
It's a horny book.
It's like what people are thinking and switching places every chapter, right?
Fuck. Yeah. And and
so you get their perspective and their perspective.
And she's like,
raw.
Yeah. It's really, it's a raw book. No condoms anywhere.
No. And truly, like, I've been in this very queer reading material space for a while, and I'm just like, it better be good if it's going to pull me out of orbit.
Did you read less?
I
literally, okay, so this is like a joke at this point, because he has told me to read less, no less than a million times. And so it is at my apartment now, and here, I'm going to say this on the pod, tonight I'm going to go home and read it.
Will you really?
Yes.
I hope you will.
I hope you will too, but
what do you think
you
of that
need
book?
It doesn't need you. It's less the book.
I get it. Yeah. I know I need to read it.
Can we talk about it?
Yeah.
And in very vague terms, that ending.
Oh my God. I was surprised.
I was kind of surprised too.
I was surprised because I was like,
do not give anything away.
We're really
going to stay vague. It's just exactly what I wanted, but didn't know I could want.
Exactly. You know? Like, God, the build up to it.
I mean, I had no idea
we'd
end there.
Yes, I was. I stopped breathing.
I know. I know exactly. I know. It was so shocking.
Wait, I've been waiting for something like this.
This was it. This was it.
It's like a movie.
It's like a movie. Yeah. I was on the train, and then I stepped out of the train, and I was like on the last like few pages, and I was like, I'm just gonna stay at 23rd Street on the on the CE stop. A good stop. Just stood there on the platform after I'd gotten off my train that I needed to get off at. Get off at, and I just read those last pages, and then I had to sit down.
Yeah.
And I was like, Jesus Christ.
That is a very romantic way to read the end of the
book.
Oh. I also remember being like, after you read this book, don't look at your phone for 10 minutes. After I finished it, I was like, you could look at your phone, but you need to sit in that.
Yeah.
Because there was...
Come on.
Hope.
Hope.
There's hope in the book. And that's crazy. Because hope isn't everywhere, by the way.
No. And hope is hard to find. Hope is so churned out in this manufactured way now.
Yeah.
That it's hard to find the real thing.
Hope.
Wow.
Fuck.
Well, I mean, I love hope.
You love hope.
I'm a huge fan of hope. I really am.
You're going to love it. It's so funny.
It's really funny. It's and so funny. It's like the sad but beautiful guy.
Volney Volney.
Yeah. How old is the main character?
He's like middle aged, which is, so he's in his like late 40s, early 50s.
Okay.
And it's really good for us, you and me, Matt, to read it because it is like this
gay man aging.
This fun glimpse into like this fucking tailspin that we all go on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, pales in comparison to what like fucking women go through, you know. It's like,
right, well, can
but
I
these very like these things that we don't talk about, and I was reading and I was like, I've never thought about that. That's
way.
Insane. Sure, and amazing.
Sure, sure, sure. I think that like, okay, so when you know how those the face app thing with the
yes,
aging,
yes,
yours
yes,
yours is hot. I saw
honestly,
it
honestly.
It's
I
like
was happy
really
with mine.
Fucked up.
I was really happy with mine, but I still looked at that man's face. And I was like, oh my God, what are you going to be?
Yeah.
I was like, how are people going to, are people still going to think this is like cute? Like, are people still going to tolerate
oh
you?
My God.
Like, are you going to always be like goofy and crazy? Like, what are you going to be? Like, what happened to you? Like, I don't know what, looking at a real version of my old face, I was like, I hope that they treated you okay. I was like, because gay men as they age, I'm just like, I haven't really seen like someone who's like, I guess you have like your Ian McKellen or whatever, like, but just like a gay man who's always been gay, always was like got what he deserved. And,
Oliver
like, you know what
Sacks,
I mean? Like
Oliver Sacks.
Sure, but it just was like to see yourself old. You're like, that is going to happen to me.
Yeah,
God willing.
Yeah, that felt true about it. It's like fate, inevitable. It's like the inevitability of looking different.
Yeah, and I was
having
like,
lived.
Yeah, and I was just like, I was just looking at that man's face who was me, and I was like, I hope it went well. I hope because you know, I hope we're still smiling like that.
Oh my God.
You will be. I really think
I hope so. I just like, you know what I mean? Like seeing yourself old, like I know it was like a fun bit we were all doing, but it was just like very crazy.
Very intense.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be able to do that.
No, it's not natural.
I feel like in looking at your photo, I saw my photo and thought mine looks like so much older. Like it looks like they did a different age than your one.
Like, what age are they supposed to make you? Because today Ricky Gervais was on The View and it was like, they showed his old photo and I'm like, this is him in 3 years.
Oh.
That's sad.
What age is supposed to be making
I think
us?
It's like octo or septuagenarian, like 70s, 80s.
Okay.
Is that how you say it? Is that how
Septa?
Septuagenarian.
That's so hot.
English.
I'm a septuagenarian.
Yeah,
I'm a
septuagenarian. Exactly right.
I thought you were gonna like read me for my romance language pronunciation, my Latin
loved
roots.
It.
Can we talk about? Okay, I'm gonna say something, and
okay.
Please reject it if you reject it. I think Ava Victor is the female Timothy Chalamet of comedy.
I was like nervous, and now I'm like completely found.
Like,
go on.
Just like
explain.
Just this aloof.
The female Timothy Chalamet.
Oh, this aloof, dark haired,
uh-huh.
French speaking.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And you're just like, who is that? I want to know more.
Yeah.
Timothy.
Okay.
Breakout star.
Come on.
Let
what
me
do you think?
Say,
will you, do you accept that?
I accept.
Thank
I accept
you.
Hugely. And you know what else I accept? I accept when people say I look like Cole Sprouse. Because
oh!
that happens too. People are like, you look like Cole Sprouse. And I'm like, that is huge.
Yeah. You have
huge.
The same nose.
We have, and ultimately, energy.
Yes.
And also, I did
okay,
audition
yeah, honestly,
for Riverdale.
Yeah. You did not.
Yeah, it went so bad.
Wait, you would have been perfect.
What part did
I
you
know.
Audition for?
I want to be on it so bad.
Veronica?
I auditioned for... No, oh my God. I auditioned for the cheerleader sister of Betty.
Got
it. It made out. I was blonde and I was like, I'm completely... Even more depressed than I am now. Can you even imagine?
Oh, so, so hair color was different back then. And,
oh, I was like... blonde, that's it yeah I was blonde and my hair was long and I went into the audition and the lines were like, mom, I'm reaching for yogurt in the fridge and I open it, my mom's standing there and she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, mom, it's non-fat, and I just did back bends and flips for 4 hours at cheer practice. And she's like, whoever the guy is, it's a bad influence. And I'm like, I love him. I should have gotten it, right?
My God, you should have gotten it. Your performance right now
Thank
was
you
stunning.
So much. I'm a really, really really good cheerleader.
Is that like the most cuckoo thing you've auditioned for? Like, you're like, I can't believe I'm holding these pages in my hands.
No, I auditioned for Quantico. That was my first audition here.
Quantico.
Does Rachel Winitsky
oh my god, we've talked about that's how we like first
hit it
became
off.
Rachel loves those network dramas.
Rachel loves Quantico.
She also loves Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, she does. She
and could, so, I mean, famously, so does Nicole.
Rachel's ridiculous.
Rachel could, I mean, Rachel can do any of those exactly right.
Yeah.
Oh, Rachel is like, and this is,
she's been on The Good Fight.
This is like the highest so compliment funny. I can pay someone, especially an actor. She is network television procedural. Mm-hmm. She can do any of those shows.
Yeah.
She can deliver any line in the world.
She's so good. She's such a good actor.
And
oh my
she
God.
Has like a passion for like poop stuff.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I love like writing about poop. And I'm like,
yeah, she loves writing
exactly
about poop. And talk
right.
about her poop. Go yeah. ahead, share
People
this.
People have hemorrhoids.
Do you? Bowen has a hemorrhoid.
I had a hemorrhoid.
Oh my God. It goes and comes, and I know that about
goes
them.
And comes. Preparation H is, I don't know how I feel about it.
I mean, I wiped with it and that was good.
It's so slippery. It's like a lubricant.
It's wow. really, but it, you
it
know
stays,
what?
It stays and it doesn't dry out. It stays there.
I mean, I've a lot of stuff stays in there.
It stays slippery, you know? Okay, well, hold on. So Rachel,
I've never had like a dry buzz.
I have never had. Well, it's
me
okay.
Neither,
I mean,
neither,
like
me
especially
neither.
Not in this heat.
Like
I
it's
can't
so
talk about,
bad.
But the thing is, like my butt, it's. I've only had one hemorrhoid before in my life years ago. But I did about three, four. This is insane. About 3-4 years ago, I had a little tiny cyst. Like right under my butthole, and I had to get it lanced and drained. And they took a needle, and they gave me a shot in my butthole.
No.
And when I tell you, the pain,
no, the pain
was a cuckoo mother. It was crazy. It was so bad when they stuck a needle in my butthole and gave it the shot. Hey, it was like so bad.
You are the
bad.
Best singer in the entire yes. world.
There's no way that's true. Yes, her name yes, is are. Trisha Yearwood.
Shut up.
When they go to me, this is what they go. They say, if you need to hold our hands or scream, you can do that. I was like, and I literally, the joke that almost came out of my mouth was, it won't be the worst pain I've felt there.
Did you say that?
That's a good joke.
No, because
really
I didn't think I didn't think that Brooklyn doctor's office was ready for my anal sex humor.
They're fucking, this is the thing. Stigma on anatomy.
Oh my God, you're right. I should be banished.
Get it out. Get it out.
Get it out.
If fucking Marsha Cross can go on TV and talk about her rectal cancer,
you're right.
You can make that joke to a Brooklyn doctor nobody.
Well,
if she
okay.
can go to a Marianne Williamson fundraiser, anyone can do anything.
It's actually Real Culture number 40.
If Marsha Cross can go to a Marianne Williamson fundraiser, anyone can do anything.
It's true. Thank you.
It is true. We put a man on the moon. Marsha went to the Marianne Williamson
and we did that.
Which means
that we should be allowed to do anything.
Honestly, I can't explain. And then also, the pain was bad, but it wasn't like cuckoo bananas.
Oh my God.
That sounds horrible.
But then I had to like walk around with like a like what essentially was like a pad on my butt, and like it was like draining all the time.
Oh,
and I was
God.
Like, people feel like this always. There are some people out there who constantly are dripped, and they're called women.
Yeah.
And they have a period. And I was like, I have a whole new respect
for discharge.
Thank you. And thank you from womankind. Thank you.
Men must understand.
Title of app, I think, is From Womankind. Thank you. I think that's a good one.
And as we all know, I do represent all women. And
yeah,
I take pride in that.
Absolutely. Being the female Timothy Chalamet of
I've
comedy.
I've never heard anything so specific as that.
I think if we stood next to each other, you would actually only see our differences. Because I think from far away, we are brother sister. From up close, we are simply incompatible.
Oh, yeah. I think you two would you will absolutely play siblings one day.
Oh my God.
I think that's in the cards.
I think he'll be the lead. And I think I'll be on the
but
side
you,
if anything.
You both speak French. You both like are like these very textured people. I don't know. I mean,
some
I'm,
of these
really
stars,
nice of
I bet he's nice. Some of these stars are a lot nicer than you think they're going to be.
I think he's
or
a nice
they
person.
Have to be.
But when he brought his, I think, it, so he brought his mom to that award show. I don't remember the Oscars. He brought his mom.
Uh-huh.
And I think that is, I guess, cool. But also it's like, if you bring your mom to an award show, you know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a move.
That's
like,
a Tom Cruise
look
thing.
What I'm doing. I don't I bring my mom.
Yeah.
Because my mom, I owe everything to my mom. And that display, I mean, I think he should have brought his mom. That's really nice.
Okay, but yeah, what is it? What's the messaging?
I guess it's sort of like, I love my mom and you have to watch and applaud me.
Yeah.
Okay, I kind of take it back.
No, I'm jealous of you saying it because that's a really good, I don't think so, honey, people who bring their moms to award shows. Okay. Because it is this thing of like, give me that straight boy pat on the back.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's like, look, I actually love my mom and I'm, and congrats to me.
Yeah, yeah.
If I ever get nominated for an award show, like, I'm sorry, I am bringing my boyfriend.
I know.
You know what I mean?
You gotta fuck in the bathroom.
Yeah, but we gotta fuck in the bathroom, and I have to be able to, if I'm ever nominated for anything, I'm gonna be truly a wreck, and I have to be able to hold someone's hand so tight, yes. And the only person that would let me do that is...
It would be your boyfriend.
Bring your doctor.
It should be my doctor. I should go back to that Brooklyn doctor and be like, hey, remember that time?
I got an Oscar. Yeah.
I have a question. What if it's a cultural thing where it's like, I'm just gonna bring up like, not French. I'm like, not to bring her up, like Sandra Oh, bring her parents to stuff. Like, is that a move where you're like, oh God, this is engineered.
No.
I'm not backing you into a corner with this. I promise.
No, I don't think so. Because when that happened, I was like, hell fucking yeah. But also I will say when Timothée Chalamet brought his mom, I was not mad in the moment. In retrospect, I'm mad, and I can't explain it.
No, yeah. I think that's very interesting, and I think I'm inclined to agree.
When Sandra Oh thanked her parents, that was
the bow
the
was
most
the
beautiful thing,
thing
yeah. I've ever seen.
And also, she brought them both.
She brought them both,
and
singling out the mother, mm-hmm. unless his father is no longer involved.
Very much could be true.
There you go.
France,
no, I'm not poking holes. France, wait,
these French dads.
Did you grew up there?
Okay, so let me explain.
Go.
I was born in Paris.
Yes.
We lived there for a year.
Yes.
Moved to San Francisco, which is where I was raised.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then I went to college I went to like a French immersion school.
Great.
Which was insane and not worth it. Never do it.
If given the opportunity,
don't go to French immersion school. No, really. I like am always like, fuck that.
Really?
Like,
why? Why?
Well, I learned all like of this science in French.
Yes.
Why? I mean, why learn science at all? But like learning all of it in French was like insane. And I then...
It's really culture number 18. Why learn science at all?
Sorry, Drew.
No.
And then... after like 2 years in high school, I was like, I should be going to like the American part of this high school.
Yes.
Which was just next door. And so I just transferred over to the American part of the high school. And they were like, why don't you know any science in English? And I was like, well, fucking kill me. I can't succeed. And so I actually, you know what? I wanted to be pre-med only because of Grey's Anatomy. And then...
Yes, it's
crazy. And then I realized I wanted to be an actor on Grey's Anatomy. And then that never happened either. But I mean, come on. It was just crazy because I remember when Christina had her like heart, like chalkboard. She had like a huge diagram of a heart, all the different parts of it. And I remember being like, I need to get one of those in my house.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make... It's
such a weird, like, you see... It's being presented to you.
Uh-huh.
Like, TV doctors. And you're like, I'm responding to this.
Yes.
I don't know which part.
And it is actually wanting to have sex.
Right.
Probably.
And also, the fact of the matter is, when you're a real doctor, your life isn't scored that beautifully.
Yeah.
Right.
And also, not everyone looks like that.
Yeah.
And it's not this thing where it's over in 45 minutes. It's like a full lifetime. And being that tired is not glamorous.
And when they're up all night, they're up actually all night.
Yeah. You don't have like the ability to look like Katherine Heigl when you work 18-hour days.
Oh, my God.
Shifts. And also, to be honest with you, I think we're probably all around the same age, and with the Grey's Anatomy thing making you want to be doctors and then you realized it was about acting, that was me with Lost, and I would fantasize about being in a plane crash.
Literally,
as a career move,
as a career thing. I want to be a professional plane crash victim. No, but I remember like when I was watching Lost, I was like, it would be so cool to be in it, like in that kind of disaster and then survive. I don't know, because I was 14.
That's wacko.
That is wacko.
And also like I was like, I wonder how long I would live on the island. Like, it was some sort of game.
Which character were you responding most to?
Well, actually, here's an even more interesting thing. I actually responded most to Kate/ Evangeline Lilly because she was like pretty and a cipher and you never could get a finger on her. And also she like had the Jack and Sawyer love triangle of it all.
And you wanted to be caught between. Yeah.
At the time I was like, Obviously it's Jack. And now something deep within me, which I realized like last year, is I was like, actually, I would like is to have my collarbone broken by Sawyer. And I'll tell you what, even more, who would be the most intense sex, I think. And I think the one I'm really fucking sexually attracted to is Charlie.
Interesting.
Okay, let me say, I've only seen the pilot.
Me too.
Because there's a part where I think somebody gets skinned.
Okay,
is that true or is that Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
The pilot of the plane, and by the way, I did think that episode was called Pilot because they were looking for the pilot.
It took me a long time to realize pilot was pilot.
Yeah.
Right. The pilot gets his face ripped off by the monster.
That's it.
Yeah.
Is that what I'm talking about?
And then yes. And then you see it
by the smoke monster.
You see him up and you don't know it's
you
a smoke.
You see him up there.
You see him up there in the tree, and he has no face.
Yes.
And you're like,
disgusting.
Oh my God. And Evangeline Lilly has that amazing moment of acting where she is hiding in the trees from the monster, and she counts down from five because that's what Jack has told her to do. Yes. And everyone was like, oh my God, Evangeline Lilly, a star is born.
A star is born.
Yeah.
Evangeline.
Evangeline Lilly is
so
culture.
Pretty.
She's so pretty.
She's
so
one
pretty.
Of the most gorgeous people ever, and I've also heard really nice. And what I appreciate about Evangeline Lilly is she only does blockbusters.
She, I've had two experiences. This is the most obnoxious thing. No,
what?
Where she was sitting, diagonally from me at SoulCycle.
Oh,
which one do you go to? Let me say this: Claire Danes is sometimes.
Wow.
Wait, who?
Claire Danes.
Claire Danes.
Yeah.
I fucking love Claire. Oh, but Claire refused to talk to us at Vulture Fest. Anyway. We tried to do an
interview. I'll kill her when I see her.
No, she was just busy and she was like, I want to go home. And
that wasn't Claire. That was Maggie Gyllenhaal.
No, but also Claire did not want
to come. Danes
Claire
also
and Maggie didn't want
to
talk to us.
Of course, Claire Danes and Maggie Gyllenhaal, goddesses of the small screen, sorry girls, didn't talk to us.
Oh my God. I believe,
Evangeline is always so into it, and she's always like, she's just you can tell she's like cool. She hoops and hollers whenever you know the instructor's like, yeah, how are you feeling? And she's like, woo!
You have to respond, or else you're dead. Because I'll say this in public right now:
it's true.
Lost was for it had its moments of being the best show in the world, and then there were truly some things about it that were so fucking bad. Like the character of Kate was so bad, and the fact that we even tolerated her is just Evangeline's star quality.
Yes.
Because the character was so bad.
Wait, Kate was the blonde one.
No, that was Claire.
Claire, I'm sorry.
Emily DeRavin.
Emily DeRavin. Oh, Emily.
Yes, who was in that movie.
The Hills Have Eyes.
The Hills Have Eyes, which was crazy.
She's pregnant in that movie and she gets fucking raped.
She gets raped by an alien, a mutant alien.
I hate that movie.
It was like the last couple years where torture porn was like fully acceptable and mainstream. But it's like, if you watch it again, you're like, oh boy, is this something that absolutely poisoned the minds of America?
That's fucking everything, though.
Yeah.
There is this movie that I don't know what it is, and I remember seeing it too young, where this like prairie woman fucks this cowboy guy in like a basement. I was at a friend's house, and we watched this movie because her dad put it on, and I remember they were fucking and making like sex sounds, and I was like, probably old, I don't know, I was like... old enough to where that shouldn't, I guess, be as uncomfortable, but it was insane. And I just remember being like, I feel like I'm going to throw up because this is too early. And also the girl whose house I was at made me watch Two Girls, One Cup. I'm sorry. We don't need to talk about it.
No, the thing is, that's culture. And we have to talk about it because it's culture. It's unfortunately part of culture.
She said, if you don't, she grabbed my face, showed it. And she said, if you don't watch this, you're boring. And to be called boring. I mean, she's like, I think she's doing okay. She's still in the Bay. Shout out, Emma.
I never made it through that because I would always retch. It was too much for me.
It's disgusting. There's no point. It's horrible. I'm so mad still. Yes, her house was hard to be at sometimes.
Yeah.
This is the thing. Cake farts is acceptable to me.
I mean, cake farts to me is one of the funniest things of all time.
Have you seen cake farts?
That's not bread face.
No. Cake farts is a famous, iconic video where a girl sits on a cake and
oh
and
yes,
fart.
Yes, yes, yes,
yeah.
Oh, there Which are lots is, of them, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of them. There's like there's waffle an farts. Woman. Like there's oh. like pancake farts. It's like crazy. She farted on so many different
so
things.
So many foods.
And the best was her dialogue around the event, yes. which was,
you know what I like the most? Cake farts.
Yeah!
Let's get this done. How am I gonna do this?
I know.
Okay, believe me when I say I thought that would end after one line and it was
no,
seven
we're off
lines.
No, we're off book.
We're
We've
off
been
book
off book.
On cake farts.
You know what? For years. This
cake
is actually,
farts is your Riverdale.
Yeah.
Cake farts is my Riverdale.
My culture.
This is, did I ever tell you this?
No.
The person who showed me cake farts, the person who like sent a link around to cake farts was Donald Glover, sent Nick Packard a link to cake farts my freshman year of college, and then we were like, we're going to watch this.
Oh.
And I was like,
so you were exposed to cake farts by Donald Glover, aka Childish Gambino.
I was already like a Donald Glover fan from like Derek Comedy days, and I was like, yeah. Oh, I was like, well, whatever Donald thinks is cool, I'll think is cool.
That's really embarrassing for him, right? That's
that
so
Donald Glover,
embarrassing.
Like fucking, like propagated cake farts to like
the
a
reason,
smaller
and
community.
Just so everyone knows, the reason this happened is because he was like a he was like the OG comedy group at NYU.
Yes,
person.
Yes, yes.
And so he knew some of our peers that are a little bit older, and that's how this video
yes,
got passed
yes, yes,
down.
Yes, yes, yes.
But he was like, if you watch anything today or this year, you watch Cake Farts.
You watch yeah. Cake Farts. Star of The Lion King. Fucking
truly Simba.
Propagated, yeah. Simba propagated cake farts to the young, impressionable mind of Bowen Yang.
Yeah.
If Beyonce knew he had done that, she would not have done the movie.
No.
No, I'll tell you what happened. He wouldn't have done the movie.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have
she
done
would
the
have
movie.
Said... He yeah. is sending people cake farts. I can't do this film with him. We
oh
need to
God.
Go with someone else.
This is a really good Beyonce impression.
Yes.
And somehow I'm going to say not problematic. It's a non-problematic Beyonce impression from a gay white
this
man.
This is Beyonce Knowles. We need to find someone else for the film.
Let me say I am getting all of the eye contact in this moment, and it's very powerful.
I've heard something troubling about Donald. And I would not like to... Even I know we have scheduled it so that I don't have to see anyone while I film, but I don't even want to be on the same screen as him. I would prefer it if we cast another actor. I also have concern about this.
Is this an email?
Icon. I have concerns about this boy icon. He's screaming and gay. If you look up my videos, you know that I'm actually, in my past, actually quite homophobic. I'm just kidding. She had her a couple rough moments years ago. She wasn't going to compromise her Christianity.
The my favorite slightly homophobic adjacent Beyonce moment is after Britney Spears and Madonna kissed at the VMAs and Christina, she went on public record and said that she was disgusted.
Oh my God.
Beyonce is, of course, a gay icon, and she
course.
Supports us, and she posts a lot of.
And one of
great
the greatest
things.
Performers of all time.
And a legend.
Oh
and we
God.
Love Beyonce, and I've given her much of my money.
I've given her
so
much of my
money. Let me say something, though.
Yes.
Them kissing was disgusting. Like, and it's. It, right?
Thank you for saying that. I've been saying that for years.
But you know what I mean? It's
she got a little Southern.
Yours.
There. Well, she is.
She is Southern.
Houston.
Houston. Where there's a Soul Cycle. And I'll say. I'll say I saw Lucy Liu in SoulCycle.
Yes,
Lucy Liu takes Ariel's class all the time.
And she's fast.
Yeah.
I mean, would you think Lucy Liu wasn't going to be good on the bike?
You're right.
No, what the hell?
I guess I was just surprised because it was hot.
Yeah.
Would you Soul?
Sometimes. I used to work there.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Oh,
I used to
desk?
Work there front desk. I worked at corporate for a second.
Oh.
Worked at the reception. People treated me. Okay. No, it's okay. Whenever you're a receptionist, people are like, you suck, but also have to look. I got told a lot that I shouldn't come to work in pajamas. And I was like, well, I have to be here at 9, so what are you asking for?
Yeah.
Hello. I have to be here at 9, the crack of dawn. No one else goes to work at 9.
I would go to the, I mean, I hope no one's listening, but I would go there, and at 9, that's when the snack guy would get there too, the corporate snack guy.
Oh.
And I would meet him and take as many Clif Bars as I possibly
could.
Yeah,
you gotta.
Just to stash them, and I would eat them throughout the day.
Yes.
I'm just remembering.
Yes.
I would eat them throughout the day and get violently ill and then go home and start the day over the next day and come back
God.
And do it
and
again.
That was routine.
You're just eating the densest food ever made.
when you eat a Clif Bar and then eat another Clif Bar, that's not okay.
Why would you do that?
Because it was there. And that's it.
I mean, the amount of things I'll eat because they're there, it's shocking.
Shocking.
I
know. Shocking.
I'll try it. I'll try almonds every day and throw the pack away once I have one, but I will open it up.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, almonds are like something they say that you should eat, but they're fucking bad.
Almonds fucking suck.
Unless they're mad salted.
Allergic.
You,
good.
What?
Good so, for
almonds
you.
And almond milk. I can't eat almonds.
Well, you shouldn't have almond milk.
How did I not know that, Bowen?
You knew this. What?
No, I didn't know that you had an almond allergy.
Isn't that so fucked up? Almonds? It's specific to almonds. Peanuts, cashews, anything else I can eat, any other nut I can eat. Almonds.
And what will happen to you if you eat an almond?
I fucking close up. I feel my throat.
Did you know about this?
it's a weird anomalous thing. But
can you be in the room with almonds? Is it just
I can be in the room with almonds. It's just about like them touching my trachea, or not trachea, but like my esophagus.
But milk has fully moved in an almond direction.
That's what I'm saying. And like, it truly is humiliating for me to be like, I can't have almond milk.
Do you like oat? Have you had oat?
Oat, I've tried a couple times and I'm like, oh, it's funny for the story. You know, it's
oh my God. That's so rude to oat, but true.
I'm sorry, but it's true. And like, I respect to oat.
Yeah. I think you gotta get the right oat. I'll say that.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, I a couple times had like interesting milks in my coffee when I was in Los Angeles because they have a lot of interesting milks. And oat milk, one time I was, Greta and I had breakfast and I got oat milk and I was like, see, I've never tasted something that really tastes exactly like it
paper.
Sounds. oat milk tastes like oat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does taste like oatmeal. Watery.
But watery. What's your favorite milk?
It's oat milk. But it's Oatly oat milk.
Oatly. You like Oatly.
I like Oatly. I don't have anger about dairy, but I do not like the idea that it's pus from a cow. I'm sorry I said pus.
Oh, I see.
My God, how could you do that?
I know. But when I think about it, I get really upset. And you know what? It's not even that. It's like sometimes there's hormones in it.
Yeah.
Have you ever milked a cow?
You know what? I don't think so.
I think that would probably completely fuck it up for me. I'd be like, no, I'm never eating this again.
Yeah. I don't think I've milked a cow, but I also feel like I've felt the cow udder before. So I don't know where that, you know, it's like soft.
That was a latex glove and you were pulling.
And everyone was like, can you stop? You're at the doctor. Yeah. I don't know. I've been around like goats. Does that help?
Yes. That's the
sorry
same.
I fucked up milk for you.
No. It's okay. It's just that I'm still that kind of person that will like drink milk.
Good.
Like I'll drink like 2% milk. Like I'll drink like a large glass of it because you remember it's a huge part of culture.
Got milk.
Was those got milk ads.
And got also milk is cool.
The anti yeah, that's cool.
I love
a celebrity with a funny picture. But do you remember the culture that was anti-osteoporosis culture, which was like you must drink two tall glasses of milk?
Yes, as a kid I drank milk every single meal.
Every day.
Wow. Yeah. And wow. Yeah, you're right.
You
that was
what?
A moment.
Okay, not to be like, okay, France is there and I'm going to talk about it. But in France, if you drink the milk, it tastes really fucking different.
Yeah, what?
And that freaks me out. It tastes more like, it's like
cream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the cows are more healthy there.
I just think
maybe
they are.
The pasteurizing is different. I have no idea.
For sure.
They are.
Oh, wait, I got to know. Favorite Grey's Anatomy. What did you, when you went on Nicole's podcast, what was your topic? What did you talk about?
I've been twice. One time, oh my God, I'm forgetting. I think I talked about relationships. LOL.
Yeah. No, oh my God. That's
I think I talked
gorgeous.
A lot about, oh, fuck. All I can think of is the idea that I have for the next one.
Oh, wait, what's your idea?
The next one I want to talk about the child actors and where they are now.
I'm looking it up right now.
So I think this is, can you please?
Know.
I'm so sorry.
Oh my God,
I feel
the
like
child actors. Who are the prominent child actors of Grey's?
Okay,
I'm already mad because the most recent episode was Addison Forbes, Montgomery Shepherd, which was going to be my topic.
Fuck.
But that's the thing about
it's
this
really
podcast,
good
Nicole.
It's
like
really
now
good
you're, people are stealing all the good things.
Yeah, Matt's really mad at Nicole.
Matt's like legit.
No,
mad.
She asked me to be on it a couple weeks ago and I was like, good, because I'll talk about Addison. And now I see.
But you know what? You can
Addison.
Go back and you can flesh out the things you need to. It feels like that. It's a deep dive.
You can.
You talked
about Catherine Heigl.
Boning and Hotties, and you talked about...
Boning and Hotties, yes.
See, and Catherine, and you talked about Denny Duquette.
Yeah, I talked about... Denny Duquette was my first one because when I was... Okay, this is the same as... It's just basically me talking about the episode. Sorry.
No,
but
go.
Basically...
No, this is huge for us.
Yes.
Okay, that's amazing. I was actually in this room. Can you actually believe that?
Yeah.
I talked about Denny Duquette because I remember that storyline being very romantic for me, and then I went when I went back and rewatched it, I was like, this is hugely like... There's so much pressure here. There's this weird, like, emasculating shit going on.
Yeah.
Catherine Heigl's character is...
I am a man.
Yeah. A horse of a man.
A horse of a man.
It's
yeah.
crazy. An it's insane. Insane. And he also, she's great.
She needs a lot of help.
Yeah.
That character is really.
I don't mean to be a dick, but she couldn't have been a doctor. That character.
She could not have been a doctor. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, though.
Really good. Great.
Also, you wouldn't have her back as a doctor if she had that kind
cut
of meltdown
L-divar.
And cut the L divider and then quit. Uh-huh. It's like, okay, no, cool. Actually, no. Never. The next thing that happens is a lot of paperwork, babe. And also, you'd probably go to prison.
Yeah.
God. How did they get out of that?
They kick her out of the program.
Right.
Yeah.
And
how did she come back? Do we remember?
No, she came back because her teacher from her childhood needed surgery, and she was like, I own this clinic. And lest you forget, I donated $2 million for that. You know, like the whole, remember the whole clinic storyline?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was Denny left her money.
Right, the money.
So that was, anyway.
Really ringing a bell.
Ringing a bell. What were you going to say about Denny?
Oh.
Or that storyline? I'm obsessed with that fucking storyline.
I mean, I think the Elvad Wire shit is the best.
Yeah.
But I also am like, looking back, I'm like, this doesn't age well.
No. But the chemistry that they had, I thought, was really good.
Powerful.
I mean,
and it's not that many scenes, by the way.
It's not that many scenes.
If you, like, actually go through, it builds, and then she idealizes him. I'll say that.
Right. And nowadays, if you're watching that, you could probably see it coming from a mile away, but it felt surprising.
It was surprising. Right? But, like, truly, like, the Superstition episode where it was, like, 7 deaths. remember that one? A phenomenal episode. The end, wasn't that many scenes, but that scene is so powerful at the end of that episode where it's like, Izzy's so worried that he's going to die. He's going to be one of the 7. And then he lives. And then she's crying. She's sobbing in his fucking room because she's relieved that he's alive. He wakes up. And then she just goes, I cannot fall in love with a patient. I'm just going to act it.
Yeah, please.
Go.
I cannot fall in love with a patient. Denny goes, okay. Good luck with that. And then that's when they first kiss. And it's such a well done scene. Oh my God.
Can I try it?
What? Go.
The scene?
Yeah.
Go.
What is it again?
I cannot fall in love with a patient. Okay. Good luck with that. And then she laughs in the kiss.
And right now, so you guys do the scene and I will be the audience that is.
Okay. Who do you want to be?
Oh, it seems like you want to be Catherine.
I kind of do.
Okay. Can you be both?
Yeah. Okay.
Because I just did both.
Yeah, okay. I'm better at scene work.
That's not how scenes work.
Yeah.
One of you has to be Denny, unfortunately.
Okay, I'll try.
No, I'll do Denny.
Okay,
I'll do Denny.
Fine.
Go.
I cannot fall in love with a patient.
Okay.
Good luck with that.
Really good.
Really good.
I felt very taken care of.
Wow.
I did not make eye contact.
Here's the difference. Ava made eye contact with you and was acting with you.
I actually don't know if I did.
You looked over
I think
at
you
me.
Did. I completely averted.
And I'm the audience. So to do that is crazy.
Are you the camera? Is that what you said?
I'm the audience.
The live studio audience.
I was watching that.
Right. So it's even more egregious somehow.
Can I say, I think, honestly, I wanted to go on and talk about Izzy, and the Katherine Heigl of it all, but I feel like that's been done.
Oh, no, you should talk about the T.R. Knight fucking Isaiah Washington thing.
I guess.
Like, that being
that just depresses me. Because Isaiah Washington getting invited back on the show later to wrap up the Sandra Oh storyline to me is, like, insane. Maybe I will talk about that.
Or talk about the...
I just find that to be completely crazy.
Hmm, yeah.
And he got to come back to that show and, like, get a check.
But truly,
he truly was a chaos demon on that set and used a homophobic slur. And also, Katherine Heigl did a lot of fucked up things, but also remember
that
she hit the carpet and the red carpet at the Golden Globes. And she was like, some people should not speak in public. I'll ride or die for T.R. Knight. That's my best friend. And I will stick up for him. And she was out there sticking up for him and, like, was an ally. And nobody talks about that. And yeah, she fucked up numerous times when it comes to, like, her public statements about that, but I think it really sucks that the narrative around her still to this day is stuff that happened 15 years ago. It's just, like, really fucked up to me. And also the fact that Isaiah Washington called T.R. Knight a faggot, multiple accounts say this happened, and then he was welcomed back.
Said it again on the red carpet.
And then he said it again in the press room. It's like, this is a person that had a real problem. It's like, and if like, we're forgiving people, then...
We have
obviously,
to forgive her.
Yes, Shonda Rhimes, we don't have to do anything. Shonda Rhimes doesn't have to do anything. Do whatever you want to do. But it's just like, don't trot out this narrative of like, well, we had to do it for Sandra Oh's character. It made sense.
No,
it's
you
like,
didn't.
One of the founding fathers of that show was, so to speak, was Izzy. And like, I'm sorry, but if there's no invitation for her to come back and wrap up the Alex storyline whenever it ends, then this isn't tracking to me. Also, whenever she refers to assholes now, quote unquote, she calls them Heigels. It's just like at a certain point, it's like I get maybe your experience with her was that bad, but it doesn't reek of maturity for me.
You can't just choose what you're mad at and when things don't act like. You can't just say this person's a devil and this person's like forgiven. Yes, you have to contextualize it and understand why people are wrong.
I can't wait for the Ladies Who Punch-esque book about Grey's Anatomy because even Ellen Pompeo is out there saying like we had serious behavior problems throughout the first 10 years of Grey's Anatomy. Like she's going out there and like I just fucking truly stan Ellen Pompeo and want to hear everything she has to say.
Ellen Pompeo is truly phenomenal. Especially just the moment that like truly I was like, yes, I remember I will follow you to the ends of the earth was that fucking panel with Gabrielle Union when she was like, I don't see a lot of color. I'm not seeing
enough color.
And Emma Roberts was like, kind of big smile, but weirded out.
I've seen her do that on like red carpets. There was another video of her, and she was like talking to this woman on the carpet, and she was like being interviewed, and she was like, you know, like when you look at the photographers here, there's not a lot of people of color, and there's not enough women, and that's a gaze. So when we're photographed, you have to understand it's by white men. Wow. And she's literally on the carpet saying it, and I'm like, I never think about that.
Powerful.
She's
like,
so right.
Everyone that's on that line taking photos of them is allegedly like white men. Like we can't see it because the cameras aren't on them, but
we can feel it.
That is exactly we can. Yes. Exactly we can, and that's an issue.
Yeah.
Fuck.
It really makes you realize how many people aren't saying things when Ellen says things, you know?
And it's like this time stops moment. And also you could see it in the faces of Gina Rodriguez and Gabrielle Union when she did say something. They were like, whoa, we didn't think we were going to go here.
We didn't know we were allowed to do that.
Yeah, and they said like we would have texted each other after about it, but...
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's cool.
That's really powerful.
I think it's time to ask Ava the question.
I think it's time.
You go.
So here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Ava, on all of our episodes, we ask the question of what was the culture that made you say culture was for you? This is the defining pop culture in your life that pointed you in a cultural direction. You know, just take that and run with it.
Okay. I feel like the memory that stands out, I was, oh gosh, maybe, I don't remember. It was 2000, maybe 4 or 5. I was eating a Haagen-Dazs ice cream because that was my coping mechanism.
Yep.
Yes.
No big deal. And I remember we had this office. Okay. There are two things. We had this, we have this little office in my family's house. And because of construction in the office, we had to move the computer out to the living room. So I was sitting in the living room with this big computer. No, like any parents probably wandering. I was eating my Haagen-Dazs and I was watching Fergie's London Bridge video and being like, I'll never be a woman. That feels like so like, or, and also like, I think I like am queer, also like, help.
Yeah. So that moment shook you.
Wow.
That video.
When I think about that moment, I don't think of myself as in it. I watch myself like hunched over eating this like ice cream that's dripping and probably like honestly my third of the night and watching this video where she's like running her fingernails through this on this bald head.
Yep.
And I just remember being like, you're supposed to do that. Like, that's how sex is. Like, you just do that. You just sit someone down and then do hot stuff on them. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember being so upset. And then also she's on the bridge and she does some crazy shit. She's on the table and does like bridge shit.
It's one of the most bizarre songs anyone has ever released.
Makes no, it's pure nonsense.
And I think it's one of the most important songs of our lifetime.
It truly woke something up in me.
And the fact that you bring that up is very crucial.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for like the true like invitation into that moment.
How do you reconcile with Fergie now?
Okay.
Like what did that moment do?
I mean, I actually love Fergie.
Yes.
And she has had a moment recently. We all know it when she sang the national anthem and completely
iconic.
Nailed it. I think that moment I was upset by because then everybody was kind of tuned into this space that I thought I had found on my own.
Right.
Naively so. Which was Fergie is insane in every social space.
Yes.
And there is this video that I don't know if
Let's play some basketball!
Let's play some basketball. Really powerful.
I mean, also, can I say, Fergie has had so many cultural moments.
Yeah. I know.
We forget that she's performed the Super Bowl with Black Eyed Peas, and she's the only reason any of us care about the Black Eyed Peas. Yeah. Sorry, Will.i.am.
Yep.
We forget, I'm sorry, but the moment that was Big Girls Don't Cry, her ballad that took over the radio. Fergalicious Definition made some boys go
really
loco.
Really good.
4th of July, you and I put up the MILF Money song.
MILF Money is a moment.
So fucking good.
It's so fucking good. The video is insane.
So yeah. But it's great.
Also,
I have a side-by-side taken actually at SoulCycle that's me doing the Fergie cover art.
Yeah.
I'll show it to you sometime.
For Duchess or Double Duchess?
For MILF Money.
MILF Money.
Yeah.
Also, I will say there's this video of her doing backflips. Have you seen that video?
Yep, on the Today Show.
Is it like 6 a.m.?
Yeah, she's singing Barracuda.
And she does.
She's doing a cover of Barracuda on the Today Show doing backflips.
It is absolutely insane that she does so many and then takes a singing break and then does another set down.
And also just like not full out singing, but I have to say the moment for me of Fergie.
Mm-hmm.
Be Italian.
Oh my God.
Be Italian. Should have been nominated.
She
should have been nominated. Was the highlight of the movie thrilling.
What other films has she been in? Was Nine the only one?
She was in Poseidon Adventure,
yes,
the remake.
Yes, yes.
You know what makes me mad is I feel like her relationship was bad, mm-hmm, probably.
Josh Duhamel?
Yeah. And I think it's unfair.
Are they not together anymore?
No, that's long over.
Whoa.
I feel upset because I feel like the truth of it is that probably deeply he is a dick.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
I mean, came from soap operas.
So,
did he?
And that's a narcissism.
It's a narcissism, but it's like where it's like it should be a humility. He should feel like humble.
Thank you for this.
Yes,
now.
He famously
played Leo on All My Children. I remember watching him when he was a sprout,
and
then he became such a thing. And I remember they got married, and I thought, oh, that's such a fun relationship, I bet. And then now looking back, I'm like, I deeply agree with you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it's about like, okay, whenever like a couple gets older together, and then they break up, I'm like, you're mad about some like a woman aging.
Yes.
I always think it's that, but it's always like not fair to just say that. But I'm like, that is, you're like, it's just toxic. Mm-hmm. There's something wrong there.
Yes.
That's why Sarah Jessica Parker and Matthew Broderick, though they are not okay, they've made it.
They've made it. Well, yeah. What's your thing that doesn't sit well with you with them?
I don't think either of them have ever said anything that I'm like, oh, that's a human being.
See, I totally disagree with Sarah Jessica Parker.
Tell me.
I relate to her very hard.
I find her to be
now?
Everything and more.
Now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you even watch her fry eggs on Instagram?
Oh, who cares?
I live for it. And also, can I tell you something? I watch Divorce.
Oh, God.
And I'm a fan of Divorce. And I've recently came upon... I actually think Sarah Jessica Parker is an underrated icon and an acting legend.
Oh, I think that's like widely agreed upon.
Carrie Bradshaw, it should not work, but it works so much.
That's true.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, but one of the great television monologues, because it really, it was the character truly changing and discovering what she really wanted, was when she's with Baryshnikov in the suite at the end, and he says, I thought you knew what this was and who I was, and she says, I'm gonna do the whole thing. Well, maybe it's time to be more clear about who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I am someone who is looking for love. Ridiculous, inconvenient, consuming, can't live without each other love. And I don't think that love is here in this expensive apartment, in this beautiful hotel in Paris. It's not your fault. It's my fault. I shouldn't have come here. And then she leaves.
Phenomenal.
That was
phenomenal.
So good.
Thank you.
She
and I that changed your mind.
Yeah, you actually have. And I do think she is a really good actress. And I think that she convinces me of a lot of things I shouldn't be convinced of. That feels exactly. true.
But you find her like public persona irritating?
Yes.
I get that.
Like, look at my closet of shoes. Yeah, and it's what? But then I'm like, she needs it.
But that's not her. Yeah. That's Carrie. But
there may be some crossover with the shoes.
Oh, in real life, she has like a whole
shoe
closet.
No, but she like convinces me that that's an okay character trait, or that that's believable that someone would be like that. Oh,
I will say, you know? Matthew Broderick doesn't exude happiness and positivity to me. But that's just a vibe thing. I mean, I think he's also an icon.
I saw him at an opening of a play and that felt true.
Yeah. He doesn't carry the light.
Yeah.
I think she does.
I think Sarah Jessica Parker has done one of the few, and it was the first, one of the few acceptable Vogue 73 questions.
She did the first she did, one. She put that shit on the map.
She put that shit on the map. And like, yeah. I'm like, she is very Sarah SJP about it, where she's like, yeah. describe New York in three words.
Something tiny and real.
Something, she goes, orchestral or something. Symphonic, tiny.
Symphonic, tiny, and real.
And I mean, just like, SJP.
I mean, but this is,
but also it's like that
you
the
have
brand.
To dive
she
deliver, in.
And like, that is her, and like, she is like, and guides the camera up to her collection yep. of globes. And it's just like, yeah, like, you are this cool fucking lady who lives in the West Village. Like, thank yeah. you.
She, to me, is an icon forever. Of
all time. Fucking love her. I love her
okay,
so much.
I'm completely on board.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. But here's the thing. When you mention SJP and Matthew Broderick, I don't think your problem is with SJP.
It's with Matthew.
It's with Matthew because he doesn't carry the light.
And he doesn't.
Yes.
But the thing is, in his performances, yes. he so yes. often has carried the light.
Yes.
Like, Ferris Bueller, that's right. a light carrying performance. He's a fucking star.
Right, where did his light go?
Where did his light
and
go?
And the producers, he carried the light in that. And like, so light. Many things, it's just like, I don't know, I think maybe he's just an older man now and just doesn't really give a fuck.
He's yeah. just, yeah, settled into not caring.
Yeah.
Which I love.
I think the reason I have pain there is because I really side with Kim Cattrall.
Really?
Yes.
Talk about this.
Okay, so go I on. Think Kim Cattrall was the person on that show who had to like literally perform naked and funny. Mm-hmm. And that's so vulnerable. Yeah.
She was delivering, she was selling every fucking
huge
line.
Huge part of why that show worked.
So good.
Like,
yeah.
wouldn't have worked without her.
No.
And whenever there's three against one, I never believe the three
yeah.
because it's so unfair.
Yeah.
Like the idea that like those three girls were hanging out and then Kim Cattrall feeling excluded and honestly maybe the tallest of the group. So
come on, yeah.
Had
yeah.
to go then
oldest.
Do,
I mean oldest, yeah.
Oldest
by yeah. like 10 years,
yeah. yeah.
And had to go then perform like naked sex scenes for the show where I imagine Sarah Jessica Parker was making much more. That sits badly with me.
Yeah.
And the thing of like when her brother died.
Yes.
Sarah Jessica Parker like commented or posted something and she was like, bitch, this, you're not my friend.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's
acceptable.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Like you can do that. Like that's, and if there's so much pain there, I believe her. I don't know.
I think that Kim Cattrall, my assessment of this is she had to play a part on that show.
Yeah.
That I don't, it can't have felt good every
yes.
single day.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And also you watch that show now and some episodes are like shockingly out of touch.
Yeah, yeah.
And yes. I mean, and like really, 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 really crazy. And I don't think if you watch the whole thing now, like you'd watch every storyline that she was in and feel good or happy for her character as confident and as like yeah. sex positive as she was. Like
but
it had to feel
and
being
she was
a human
doing
being
that.
Doing
yeah.
that
yes.
every day had to feel a little weird. So I yeah. 100% this woman who's in her 60s, her saying, no, I'm not going to do Sex and the City 3
yeah.
after Sex and the City 2 was what it was, just because y'all
want
to do it and just because like you have
money.
A script and you want the money. I am at an age now where not only have I been doing it for
decades.
Over two
yeah.
decades,
yeah.
but it's just like not what I want to do anymore.
Yeah.
Like, because my function here is different than yours. Like I'm like essentially the sexual joke here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And they did give her some good storylines towards the end of the show, but like, you know, those were few and far between. And so her being a woman in her 60s, if she says she doesn't want to do it, that's fucking it.
Yeah, totally. People shouldn't know that she said no, that she's the only one.
Exactly.
No, like, there shouldn't be that.
And it's like to guilt her, for there to be a like literal an international conversation about whether or not she's grateful or acting. Yeah. Like she said no, y'all. That's it.
Also, there, like she said at times, like playing that role like was the reason for her marriage not working.
Fuck.
Because it put such a, I mean, that's also sort of probably a deeply like
sexist thing. I'm sure there's other stuff. Yeah.
And like also whoever her husband was probably like, you're my girl, you know.
Was,
and so
it was a real Duhamel about it. Was a real Josh Duhamel about it.
Honestly, here we go again. and I feel like that's unfair too to like, I can imagine being like, this is something I want to fucking leave behind. Yeah. And my naked body's been literally everywhere for like so long.
Yes.
Let me be.
Also, like saying yes to something 25 years ago, she might not even say yes to that now. She could be a totally different person.
And nowadays, she's just like fucking loving doing like British TV and like plays and shit. Like she is in a good place and she knows where she should be at this age.
And also, not for nothing, but to be synonymous with the character of Samantha, like because she is synonymous with that character. Uh-huh. Like people wouldn't even be able to tell you the difference between her and that character because she's so iconic.
Yeah.
That's just like, she has every right to say, guys, no.
Yeah.
I remember she went on Piers Morgan's talk show like right after the whole fallout. Uh-huh. And like you just, I mean, Piers Morgan's whatever. Fuck him. But she,
I hate Piers Morgan.
She is like, you watch that interview and she's just like, yeah, like it was just really hurtful. Like just doing that show with, I guess the clickiness of it, like was really hurtful. And you watch that and you're like,
she's
believe
honest.
It.
You
honest.
Believe it. I also will say, like, I don't believe that SJP, Cynthia Nixon, and Kristen Davis are like bad people.
People.
I just think that some people get along and some people don't. Like, they're your colleagues. They were extremely good at what they did. You believe that the four of them were best friends, ride or dies.
Yes.
Like, but that is what that is. You have to remember, like, the relationships that you see on screen are not the relationships off screen. That is their job.
Yes.
They're really talented and good at what they do, but like, they don't owe us anything and they don't owe each other anything.
Yeah.
Like,
that's it.
And
totally.
That's like that. And also after that second movie, it's like, what the fuck was the storyline for Samantha in this movie? Like she gets split in half because she gets fucked so hard. Like seriously, what was she going to have to do?
That would have been great.
That would have been really good.
Yeah.
She's like, ouch.
He split me in half.
Honey, someone call the doctor.
All right. Well, I'm eating eggs. And of course, SJP would have like the punchline, like, okay, well, let's.
Okay, well, I'm getting hangs.
Well, it's 10 a.m.
She's like, why?
Yeah. Kristen Davis.
Kristen.
I love her and I am attracted to her.
Yes.
Are
she's
you?
Hot.
Yes,
she's hot.
I think
she
very hot.
Was fucking phenomenal in the first movie. No!
Yeah,
no!
Yeah. Oh, so good. So good. I think it's time.
I think it might be fucking time.
I think it's time for the moment. I mean, I think Ava is a true veteran of the form. I mean, who could forget Vanessa Carlton?
Yeah.
She fucking tore apart Vanessa Carlton 1,000 miles.
Thank you.
Yeah. Wait, and then the first show, what did you do?
I did Chrissy Teigen.
Chrissy Teigen. Oh, I loved that one. Ooh, Chrissy.
That was a good one.
I will say I have, those ones I did ultimately prepare, and this one's sort of just going to be able to
I actually currently do not have one.
I had one a moment ago, and I'm letting it come back to me. Ooh, no, lost it.
Okay, got it. I'm ready.
Okay, this is Matt Rogers. I don't think Sonia's time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. Newsboy hats.
Oh.
I don't think these worked when Britney was doing it. And when Britney was doing it, that was like the moment for newsboy hats.
Yeah.
And I actually don't think so, honey, that they ever even worked on her.
No.
And they certainly don't work on you, reader, listener.
Yes.
I do not think so, honey, that they work on you in the year of our Lord 2019.
No.
So the thing about the newsboy cap is that is also a ridiculous name. Let's call them news people. Hello, there's a lot of different people that deliver the news.
Yeah.
Also, the thing is, like, those little bills are too small and not functional. I don't think so, honey. If you think that's getting the sun out of your eyes, they're purely for style. And here's the thing about fashion: I shouldn't look at it and say, "Oh, that's a stylistic choice." It should be sneak attack.
Five seconds.
I should think it's functional. So I don't think so, honey. Newsboy caps.
you burnt.
You burnt. That's 1 minute.
That
Thank
was amazing. You,
you
know what? Well, that I don't is think so true. If your fashion does not pretend to be something else,
right.
That's embarrassing.
Yes. Like, here's the thing. It's like there's a reason why people are like, oh my God, and it has pockets. Because yes. pockets are functional.
Yeah.
Like whenever it's top, whenever you're watching, I almost said Top Chef. Whenever you're watching Project Runway and like Nina Garcia will be like, and are those pockets? They'll be like, they are pockets. And the model will go in and it'll be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I love it. It's editorial. It has pockets. It's like it's important because it's functional. Newsboy caps like those
no
little
function.
Bills. It's nothing, and it
doesn't
like,
look good. No. And so what's up?
Right, exactly. And so what are we doing here? A wool hat that keeps you warm. A baseball cap that keeps the sun out of your eyes. Like
Newsboy.
I'm sorry, but
nothing.
The Newsboy caps is nothing.
And we should point out for people not familiar with Project Runway, it is the Top Chef of fashion.
Imagine exactly Top Chef, but on a runway.
Yes.
Is Nina Garcia still on Project Runway? Yes, that is crazy. She is so, I'll say it, mean.
Yeah, she's one of the meanest people in America, and also she is an icon. And
yeah,
she should be
I
done
mean,
for
she's
Snatch
hot
Game.
Too.
She should be done for Snatch
she's
Game.
She's gorge, and she doesn't age.
She's like,
I hate it. It's not editorial. You can't wear. Where is she going? Where is this girl going? And there's no pockets. I don't want to see it. I mean, this is disgusting. Turn around. What's the back?
How she treats the models is insane.
Yeah, she's mean to them.
She's like, turn around.
First of all, this girl is too tall and she looks enormous. Your model looks enormous.
No.
It's just like, you just watch the model like a little light leave her eyes.
Oh, fuck. Oh,
my God.
Damn.
Yeah. Here we go.
I got something.
Okay. It's Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey. He will do it starting now.
I Don't Think So, Honey skincare toner. What the fuck is your problem? What do you do? And look, people say it's fancy water. It's supposed to even out your skin tone. How? What is in the water, the toner, that's actually going to benefit my skin tone?
Yeah.
And the community is divided on whether or not you put a few droplets onto a cotton pad and wipe,
uh-huh.
or if you spray, because now this new trend is happening where you're supposed to, you spray it out of
seconds.
A bottle, but it doesn't, if you're not wiping away the impurities, then where does it go? What does it do? There's no resistance for you to pull down the impurities. Exfoliant. Thank you so much, Ava. I Don't Think So, Honey toner. The community doesn't agree on what you are and what you're supposed
seconds.
To be doing and the job you're supposed to be doing. And B, I think it's a scam. I think it's a scam for skincare lines, companies to put water in a bottle and sell it to you
Five
at a
seconds.
Premium. So I Don't Think So, Honey's skincare toner. I will just stick to my Cetaphil. Thanks, bitch.
And that's one
minute.
I am at a complete loss with what to put on my face and what not to
Me
put
too.
On my face.
Me too.
Okay.
Go.
I don't know. And I have the worst, I'll say it, skin in the world. Don't look now.
No.
I do. But when somebody has bad skin, that's a sign that they know about skincare, mm-hmm. just so you know.
Really?
Like, because I have bad skin, so I've had to learn.
Yeah.
And if you've had perfect skin, the thing is, it's sad for you because you're never going to actually learn. So that's something. I think you're supposed to. I don't know what toner is either. And I don't understand when, like, it doesn't make sense that a product could either be wiped away or not. That
yes,
makes absolutely
yes.
no sense.
It doesn't.
You're supposed to wash your face.
Thank you.
And then you're supposed to, honestly, maybe put on a serum.
Yeah.
Which isn't the same as toner.
Isn't the same as toner, but there's also the disagreement on conventions with serum, whether you put it before or after your moisturizer.
Yes, I always pocket it and then I put moisturizer on last.
I think, and that's the correct way, I think.
Do you know the podcast Natch Buttes?
No.
So she has been a guest on our show. She did a really good episode with us, and I was on her show in LA. She has a great podcast where if you guys listening have any questions about skincare, I'm sure that she can
answer.
Actually, our episode was a lot about skincare, and it was really great. So if you want to become as knowledgeable as Ava Victor,
maybe I should make a Natch Butte.
You should make a competing Natch
Butte. Would that be
cool? Jackie Johnson.
So
moving on. Okay,
here we go.
Okay,
this is
know. Okay,
I don't know.
We'll see where we go.
Don't
okay,
doubt
cool.
it. Okay, this Mm-mm. is Ava Victor's. I Don't Think So, Honey. Her time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, when you need Gatorade and are under the weather and don't have someone you're dating. What the fuck is up with you being sick and single and not having someone to fetch your Gatorade for you? If you need Gatorade, you need to be in bed. But if you're in bed, you need Gatorade. And if you don't have a significant other or even a close friend, if she's out of town, Natalie, then you need Gatorade and you can't get it. That's not fair. If you need Gatorade, you're insane because the way that tastes, if you're not sick, is
so
fucking
bad.
It tastes like salty dirt. And you know what? If you need Gatorade, you basically need to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
So if you are my ex,
15 no, seconds.
If you don't have a significant other and you get sick, that's a problem. Yeah. And huge. You should call 911 probably to have them come seconds. Pick you up because it's more likely. Okay, well, let's look at our list. The only thing a relationship is good for is when you're sick. And you know what? That's it. I don't think so, honey. Whatever I said.
And that's 1 minute.
Thank you so
absolutely,
much.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Really clean.
I would say that is such a beautiful thing when you have someone to take care of you when you're sick. Yeah. And that is another thing that gets lost in the tragedy of this breakup is that getting that person and knowing what that feels like and then losing that is like... Tragedy.
You are literally the best singer in the entire
this
world.
This is psycho for you to say.
I think it's true.
Oh,
have you ever
God.
Heard of Andrea Bocelli?
No.
Fucking self-burned. Andrea.
Well, that was huge. I would say Gatorade tastes absolutely bad, but if you had to do a flavor of Gatorade, what flavor is it? And you know which one it is.
It's yellow.
No,
it's not.
It's blue.
What the fuck? Is it light blue?
It's light blue.
Okay, it's actually light blue.
But what's your beef with dark blue?
Okay.
Grape. It's grape.
It's disgusting. And grape sucks.
Dark blue stains. Hello.
Oh, yeah, no.
Light blue is newer.
Light blue is newer.
And it comes in a curvy bottle.
Baby blue. Get with it.
And yellow is a classic I used to have at soccer practice.
Green.
That's a brag.
Ooh, you know
also, wait, red.
No.
Ew,
red, baby. Honey, red. Yes.
One
you
time,
might as well get it like an icy.
It's actually rule of culture number 43. Honey, red. Say it.
Holy shit.
It's rule of culture number 43. Honey, red.
No, one time red Gatorade spilled in my lunchbox when I was little, and it just, and it clung onto me, and fruit punch clung onto me.
It's fruit punch.
It's fruit punch. Yeah. And I've
love that.
I have never been able to, like, really remove myself from the trauma of that moment.
You have never yelled at a girl like this.
I've never yelled at a girl like this. Wow. I mean, I think we really covered the whole fucking gamut this episode,
wow.
haven't we? We started off really vulnerable and, like, raw.
We started truly from a place of vulnerability, which was a topic.
Mm-hmm.
And then we cracked that open and let everyone know who exactly we were.
I love that.
And when they got to know who we were, that is when we went into the vestiges
the culture.
Of culture.
And that's actually exactly what happened.
That's exactly what happened. Ava, thank you so much for
oh my God, thank
being
you for
on this
me.
Journey with us.
Is there
you
anything
too.
That you even want to say to people?
All, not to them, to you.
What?
Thank you as fucking hell. What?
As fucking hell.
Thank you to fucking hell. Amazing. This is wonderful.
This, we are obsessed.
I have high key just fucking, you know.
I stand
Ava.
And I stand in turn.
In turn.
And I stand in turn. And holy shit, good night.
Good night,
holy
good
shit,
night.
Good
holy
night.
Shit, good night.
And actually, there is a song that we're going to sing right now because we do end every episode
with
a song.
Tragedy.
It's a tragedy when somebody dies. It's a tragedy when somebody cries. It's a tragedy when all those things mess up your day, mess up your life. It's a tragedy. Oh God, you're real. God, you exist. God.
Woo!
God.
Forever. Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.